You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hopefully your week is going great. Once again, for the second day in a row, we have a ton of really kind of small Timberwolves news and notes that I want to run through, give some commentary to them, some context on each of the notes, but really just kind of a lot going on in terms of administrative things and getting ready for minicamp next week, interviews from current Wolves executives and assistant coaches in other locations and all that. So I do want to get into that. Perhaps we'll get into a little bit of some more of these fake trades that are being thrown out around there as we just kind of, everybody's throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks. And I'm happy to be part of that process because it's a ton of fun. So first, before we get into that, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So tons of news. The headline here, and perhaps you've already heard this news by now, is that Sachin Gupta, who's the Timberwolves Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, he had been considered really the favorite. He was a finalist for sure in the top three finalists for the Sacramento Kings President of Basketball Operations to run that department for the Kings. And he flew out to Sacramento for an interview. He was thought to be, there was a report by a radio host in the Sacramento area, I think it was Dave Carmichael was his name, saying that there was movement towards Gupta as the number one and the assistant GM in Houston as the number two working under Gupta was kind of the thought process. Monty McNair, the current AGM in, if that makes any sense, AGM in Houston. Now the news comes that Gupta is not the hire in Sacramento. Instead, it is Monty McNair, the assistant GM, now former assistant GM in Houston under Daryl Morey. And there's a lot of talk about how the Kings owner, Vivek Ranadive, is a big fan of the Houston Rockets model and Daryl Morey and the work they've done there over the past, really almost two decades, I think. And of course, Sachin Gupta was there for a time with current Wolves President of Basketball Operations, Gerson Rosas. So there also were some ties there with Sachin Gupta. But the fact that they hired McNair was somewhat of an upset based on a lot of the reporting over the last few days. We don't know yet, and who knows if this will come out, whether or not Gupta actually withdrew from consideration, or was he offered the job, or did they simply pick McNair over Gupta? There was a lot of John Krasinski at The Athletic posted a piece just a few hours before the decision was made to hire McNair, in which he talked about the pros and cons of the job in Sacramento. It's a really good piece and still relevant. It's basically comparing the Kings' situation to the Timberwolves and factoring in ownership, which there's a big question mark for the Timberwolves on who's going to be their owner moving forward. There's also discussion about, obviously the rosters, the coaching staff, the front office structure, and how much control would a new president of basketball operations in Sacramento actually have versus the job in Minnesota as the number two to Gerson Rosas. And there's also, John Krasinski and others at The Athletic had reported that the Timberwolves were actually planning to have to replace Gupta. They expected him to leave. And so Gerson Rosas was well into the preparations for being without his number two, his right-hand man. But I guess good for him that, that's not something the Wolves need to be concerned about. And Gupta is going to be in Minnesota for at least a while longer. There, Krasinski had a note in his article that Rosas had, quote, spoken glowingly to Sacramento about Gupta in terms of a reference and what he brings to the table. And as we've talked about quite a bit over the past week plus here, Gupta's a huge part of the operation for the Timberwolves in their front office, and especially in this offseason with so many things kind of flying around. The other thing I want to talk about in terms of hiring on that front is just kind of a quick note. We knew that David Vanterpool was going to be a candidate for at least a couple of the open jobs. Chicago's job is open. Houston's job is open. Head coaching job. Indiana, of course. Brooklyn's had been open until they hired Steve Nash. But Vanterpool did officially interview for the job, or was scheduled to interview for the job on Thursday with the Indiana Pacers via Zoom. This was reported by Darren Wolfson of Channel 5 and Score North in the Twin Cities. So good on him for landing the interview. There's at least a dozen candidates that have been talked about as possible candidates for that Pacers job that they were planning to talk to. So no word yet on how likely he is to land that position. Obviously, he came from Portland, where he was basically their defensive coordinator and played a big part in Portland going from having a bad defense to a decent one, and actually a pretty good one for a couple of years. And the Wolves, he was their runner-up choice behind Ryan Saunders. They hired him to a deal to be the associate head coach and defensive coordinator in Minnesota. So he took kind of a mini step forward to come to a different, more collaborative type environment and take on a little bit of a bigger role than he had in Portland. And it's only a matter of time before he gets a head job in the NBA. It'd be tough to lose him after just one season, especially with the amount of work the Wolves need to do defensively next year and the track record that Vanterpool brings. But I mean, it doesn't look like it'll be this offseason. There's only a couple of jobs it sounds like he's really up for. And here's hoping for at least one more year for Vanterpool. And then he definitely, it sounds like, will deserve a role somewhere else here in the near future. In terms of the Wolves minicamp, talked about that on the show earlier this week. Wolves minicamp is happening on Monday. Just a couple of kind of cleanup notes on that, some other things coming out from some of the different local reporters in the Twin Cities. So we'll get into that here coming up next. And then we will talk a little bit more about some potential trades and packages that teams could put together for the number one pick, as well as the what the Wolves might want to do with the backup point guard spot during the upcoming season. Before we do that, let's talk about the title sponsor of today's podcast. That's rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use for other important things, like your mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, while rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. Plus, rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. Best of all, the prices are, said it before, I'll say it again, reliably low. It's the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, a couple more notes on Timberwolves minicamp. That kicks off on Monday, this upcoming Monday, the 21st. And talked a little bit about that earlier this week. Basically, the full team is expected to be in, including Towns, D'Angelo Russell. They're both already there, as well as Malik Beasley. Beasley had posted something on his Instagram story that you could see both Russell and Towns in it. And we talked about the Wolves calling up, I guess not technically calling up, but bringing in from the G League, Iowa Wolves, Canyon Barry and Lindell Wigginson, who are both in training camp. Or at least Wigginton was in training camp with the Wolves. They were both on the Las Vegas Summer League team last year. We know that Evan Turner won't participate. Obviously, he's never showed up and he was supposed to be. They were trying to buy him out. That never got figured out, but he'll be an expiring contract. Amari Spellman, kind of the same thing. He's still under contract, but he will not be there because they are looking to find a way to move on from him. There was a little bit of a Twitter conversation about this, where John Krasinski from The Athletic said he's not a big part of the future plans. And then Darren Wolfson chimed in and said that Spellman's side is working to find him a new home and that that Rosas would like to do that as well. He was basically salary filler, you know, also freeing up a roster spot, that sort of a thing coming from Golden State. So while his skill set would technically fit with what the Wolves are trying to do, it doesn't sound like he's too thrilled to be in Minnesota, and it doesn't sound like the Wolves are all too heartbroken over it. So Spellman will not be in Minnesota for the camp. And then Juancho Hernan Gomez is, of course, a restricted free agent. Mentioned this the other day. He is filming a movie overseas. He was here for much of the offseason. You can find him, the Track the Pack video the Wolves released a few weeks ago over the summer, some of the other photos and video that the Wolves and some of the players have posted, the paddle boating adventure that some of the guys took on the lake, Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, Keelan Martin, a lot of those different workouts. Juancho is present, so it's not like he doesn't want to be there. He had agreed to be in a movie before they knew that there'd be workouts in September. So that is not something that's necessarily a bad thing coming from Hernan Gomez, again, as he did want to be there. The movie, by the way, a little bit more information on that. According to Chris Hine of the Star Tribune, he says that a Wolf spokesperson says that the movie is Adam Sandler's latest movie revolving around a basketball scout seeking talent overseas, filming in Philadelphia, and features LeBron James as a producer. So there you go. Adam Sandler's new movie starring, I don't know if starring is the right term, featuring, it will include Juancho Hernan Gomez, the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he will not be there, but outside of Hernan Gomez, Turner and Spellman, everybody on the roster should be there. There was also a report by Jace Frederick of the St. Paul Pioneer Press we talked about the other day that that Malik Beasley will not stay in town for the entirety of the camp, but will for sure just be there for the individual workout portion, which is next week. But all those guys are there now anyways, getting their work in. So that's always good to see. All right, next up, let's talk a little bit more about trades. There's been some more things floated around the various blogs related to potential trade targets for the Timberwolves. So I do want to get a little bit in the weeds on some of that. Let's go ahead and just jump in because that's the best way to approach this. So outside of Jrue Holiday, which is the name that has picked up the most steam lately, and everybody's talking about whether that would make any sense, whether the Pelicans would even do it. And there was some talk on Locked On Pelicans the other day about the Pelicans wanting to make the playoffs this year. So why would they trade, you know, one of their starting players, one of their better players in exchange for the number one pick and essentially, and maybe even have to give up the 13 pick as well, in addition to Holiday, why would they give up a spot in the playoffs simply to get the number one pick in a draft where there's not a clear superstar at number one? And that's a fair point too. And I landed at the conclusion the other day on this show, the Wolves wouldn't make that trade either, because I don't think Holiday, especially given the contract situation where he's likely out after 1 year, you know, it's not the absolute perfect fit with the team, but it's a good fit. But all of those things considered and having to give up the number one pick, I don't know that Minnesota does that anyways. It's not like Jrue Holiday is a slam dunk, you know, third star, all star. He's a really good starter and a really good defender and a solid offensive player and all those things. But the cost of $21 million and then a free agency and needing to probably pay him almost that much per year if they were to re-sign him, plus the cost of the number one pick, even in a weak draft, is probably too much. All of that to say, there's another new article by Zach Buckley at Bleacher Report who puts out a lot of these different trade proposal articles. This is trade packages for NBA's top five available stars. So I think he's using the term star pretty loosely, pretty liberally here. He's got John Collins going to Golden State. Of course, I've talked a lot about him coming to Minnesota as a attractive trade in my mind. Buddy Hield to Philadelphia, which sounds like more problems for them. I like Buddy Hield, but at that on the deal he's on, it's not great. He's got Jrue Holiday going to Denver in a trade that would include Gary Harris, Monte Morris, Bol Bol, and a first-round pick protected next year. And then he's got Oladipo to Minnesota. And we've talked about this a little bit, and I've made it very clear I don't love the idea of trading for Oladipo. But the trade would be James Johnson, Jarrett Culver, and the number one pick for Victor Oladipo. This is not a trade that the Timberwolves should make. I've talked about not loving the Oladipo fit before, but let me be very clear why I don't like this. Oladipo's a really good player. He's an all-star. He was resurgent in Indiana after disappointing stints in Orlando, kind of came alive a little in Oklahoma City, but had to really kind of become his own in Indiana. He's a star. He absolutely is. And in theory, he's the type of player, a defensive-minded, tough wing, a big wing, that would fit the Timberwolves. However, combination of three things make him not a great fit. And this isn't even counting the cost of giving up the number one pick, because I think if you can give up the pick for a star, you do it if that star fits your team. Here's why he's not a great fit. Oladipo is a very good defender. However, coming off of injury, that's the first thing, a serious injury. What knee surgery was about a year and a half ago, a little over a year and a half ago. He wasn't great last year when he came back on either end of the floor and including defensively. What is his lateral quickness going to look like moving forward? It's usually the following year after an injury to the knee like that when a guy becomes more like himself. But that's not why you make this trade, because you don't want to gamble with the number one pick in this scenario, or really in any scenario. Secondly is the contract situation. You don't want to just, Oladipo's got a year left and then he's gone. And if you can't re-sign him, or if you have to overpay to keep him, why are you giving up the number one pick in such a deal? That's maybe the biggest one for me, actually. The third one would be the actual fit. Yes, he'd be really good defensively, but it would be awesome to have a defender at the caliber of Victor Oladipo, the size of Oladipo, the athleticism of Oladipo, playing in between D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, who are both good, not great athletes, especially in the case of Russell. And they're both subpar defenders, put really simply. However, offensively, Oladipo has not succeeded in a system where he's not the top option. He has been the primary option in Indiana and has been very good. But even in Oklahoma City, he wasn't great offensively when he wasn't the one running the show. And a guy like, so the reason why Holiday is a better fit, Holiday actually carries a lower usage rate. He's more of a playmaker. He's more of a two guard that could be the secondary playmaker. Whereas Oladipo is going to be essentially what everybody wanted Andrew Wiggins to be, really. And while that sounds nice, now you're taking shots away from D'Angelo Russell, who's extremely efficient, and Karl-Anthony Towns, who's even more efficient and more dynamic than anybody, almost anybody in the league. I mean, he's one of the top five most dynamic offensive players, hands down, in the league, Towns is. And do you want to take possessions away with a high usage wing who's just an okay three-point shooter? Holiday is a more consistent three-point shooter as well, especially post-injury Oladipo to this point. So all of those factors considered, and I don't understand how you could give up the number one pick in a deal for Oladipo over some of the other options that might be out there. Now, I mean, are you going to get a Ben Simmons? Are you going to get a Bradley Beal? Are you going to get even a Drew Holiday? I don't know, but I wouldn't trade it for Oladipo because of all the reasons I listed. I think there's just too many question marks. And as sexy as the name is, and as nice as it is to consider the possibility of having a former all-defensive, you know, first team guy on the defense, I just don't think that is worth the risk between the injuries, the non-perfect fit, and also the likelihood he leaves in free agency. So I would definitely look the other way if I were the Wolves. All right, lastly, I want to talk about the Timberwolves' backup point guard situation and what I think they're going to do this year and what some of the different possibilities are for the Wolves as we head into the upcoming season. The Minnesota Timberwolves have at least 40% of their starting lineup and really 60% of it kind of locked in. They've got D'Angelo Russell. They've got Karl-Anthony Towns. They're set at the one. They're set at the five. They have likely Malik Beasley returning in restricted free agency. If he doesn't return, they'll surely try and work a sign-in trade or something to try and, you know, solidify the two spot. Josh Okogie, with this, the way this team is set up, is going to be a starter. In a perfect world, he's not a starter. He's more of a sub that can play anywhere on the wing, that can guard three, four positions pretty well, very well, and hopefully continues to improve his shooting, really good in transition, but he's not really a starter. He probably is a starter on this team. There's a few of these other roles. We know that, you know, Jake Lehman's going to play a lot of four. James Johnson's going to play some four and five and play, can initiate the offense if he needs to. But backup point guard is the position where typically teams have a guy who is the backup point guard. And there aren't a lot of teams that have a guy that plays multiple positions. That's your backup point guard. That's just, you need a backup one. You need somebody to come in when D'Angelo Russell's in foul trouble. You need somebody to spell him for, 14, 16, 18 minutes a game, whatever that might be. Right now, the only other point guard on the Wolves roster is Jordan McLaughlin. And while he was really good over the last 15 or so games, 16, 17 games in February and March for the Wolves, he wasn't very good before that. At the NBA level, he wasn't, 12 months ago, he was not highly thought of. He had a solid Las Vegas Summer League. I talked about on this podcast kind of flippantly that, you know, he was just kind of, I didn't know why they used a two-way contract on him. This was a year ago. I didn't think he was that impressive in Vegas Summer League. The Wolves thought differently and they were right and I was wrong. McLaughlin turned out to be really good at the end of last year. Now he's technically a restricted free agent because he was on a two-way contract. So the Wolves have to actually go out and bring him back. It sounds like he's been present for a lot of the offseason activities, the things that are still technically happening in the last league year, in the 19-20 year. So it sounds like he's around the team, he wants to be there, et cetera. And I think the Wolves can probably retain him fairly inexpensively, but it's not necessarily a slam dunk. We don't know what's going to happen. If they can bring McLaughlin back, all those, and say they can bring him back on an affordable deal, is that what they want to do? Do they want to hand him 16 minutes a game? Do they want to give him the opportunity to play with D'Angelo Russell in spurts where they actually run effectively a two-point guard backcourt? Could they run a 5'11 McLaughlin and a 6'4 D'Angelo Russell out there and find success? I tend to think the answer is yes, But at the very least, McLaughlin has made, I don't think that 6 months ago, or I guess 8 months ago, I do not believe that this was the plan. I do not believe that the Timberwolves thought that McLaughlin would be their backup point guard in, you know, come 2021. I think that they probably planned to acquire somebody, whether it be in the draft, free agency, trade, and they may still do that. There's a lot of guys who can be backup point guards and a lot of solid ones. I mean, Shabazz Napier was essentially a throw-in as part of a sign-and-trade last year. Minnesota got him for virtually nothing, and he's a pretty good backup point guard. He wasn't great in Minnesota. He had some injury issues early on. I think it was an ankle. He missed a couple of weeks, and actually McLaughlin got his first stint in the NBA because of it. It's not that hard to find a solid backup point guard. So perhaps that's what the Wolves were thinking all along. Maybe they'll draft somebody at 17. You know, now that we know what the draft looks like and we know the Wolves have the 17 pick, look at the draft. Kyra Lewis should be there from Alabama. There's some other names that could be solid NBA players that maybe profile as backups anyways, that they could get at 17 or around there if they were to move around in the draft. And those could also be solutions. Or the Wolves might be looking at this and saying, hey, McLaughlin showed us something. We're going to bring him in. He's going to be our primary backup point guard. And if we're wrong, we can always shift gears sometime during the season. They've got other guys who can fill that role. They've got Jarrett Culver, who ran some offense last year, and it was a mixed bag, mostly not good. He mostly was just not good across the board. But there were some moments where he looked like, hey, he could be a playmaker for the second unit. He could play off the ball mostly, but then take over the reins sometimes and control this team. I mean, like he did at Texas Tech, but he's got a long ways to go. James Johnson can initiate offense. He played point guard by default a couple of times last year after the trade deadline when they were shorthanded with D'Angelo Russell sitting out a couple of games. And it could be somewhat of a backup point guard by committee. Karl-Anthony Towns handled the ball in the pick and roll more often last year than he ever has in his career, and he was really good at it. Both Rosas and Ryan Saunders have been on record saying that they want to use Towns in more of a playmaking role. They want Kat to get more possessions on the perimeter and distribute the ball and be just really more touches, just touch the ball more often in the flow of the offense and make the defense, put stress on the defense, make them come out and guard him on the perimeter. And if they don't, he's going to hit a three-pointer. And if they do, then he's going to find a teammate or take you off the dribble and, you know, get to the basket using his length and his long strides and his touch around the basket. So I think the Wolves may look at this and say, hey, worst case scenario, we've got this combination of guys that can do it until we find a guy, a reliable backup point guard. Best case scenario is McLaughlin ends up being one of the better point guards in the league. If he plays like he did over the last 15 games last year, which was efficient. I mean, what he was averaging like 10 points, 5 assists or so, and, you know, shooting just under 40% from three, I think over 40 over the last 15, but for the year he was like 38%. And getting to the free throw line, quick first step, dunking over guys. If he can show that confidence and he has that quick first step and the know-how defensively, at least to be solid on that end of the floor, then the Wolves don't need to go find anybody. But that said, they've also got the assets to do it between the draft, free agency trades. And there are a lot of guys. There's a number of free agents out there. I'm not endorsing any of these candidates, but just a quick look at the list. You know, you got Michael Carter-Williams, you've got Yogi Ferrell. I mean, JJ Barea is going to be out there. To throw out a name of another former Timberwolf, but there's plenty of options when it comes to backup point guard, but there's some upside still in Jordan McLaughlin, who's only going to be in his second year in the league. So it wouldn't shock me if that's the route that they ultimately went, but it is one of those few specific roles on an NBA team that we don't know yet what the Wolves are going to ultimately do. All right, that's all we have for today here at Locked On Wolves. We'll be back for a Friday show that'll get you through the weekend with some more Wolves talk as we head towards, really, I mean, I guess the Western Conference Finals kick off Friday night, and then the continuation of the Eastern Conference Finals. We're getting closer and closer to real NBA offseason and everything that comes with that. So that'll be exciting to be able to cover here on the show. That's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.